We are looking at issues facing Christians today for a kind of cameo. But what I'm going to be doing is, through sermons, issues facing Christians today. I want us to look today at depression and what the Bible says about it. And that's what I want us to do over the next few weeks. What does the Bible say about a whole lot of different issues? The reading this morning comes from Psalm 42. As a deer gets thirsty for streams of water, I am thirsty for you, my God. In my heart, I am thirsty for you, the living God. When will I see your face? Day and night, my tears are my only food. As everyone keeps asking, where is your God? Sorrow floods my heart when I remember leading the worshippers to your house. I can still hear them shout their joyful praises. Why am I so discouraged? Why am I restless? I trust you, and I will praise you again because you help me, and you are my God. I am deeply discouraged as I think about you. From where the Jordan begins at Mount Hermon and from Mount Mizar, your vicious waves have swept over me like an angry ocean or a roaring waterfall. Every day you are kind, and at night you give me a song as my prayer to you, the living God. You are my mighty rock. Why have you forgotten me? Why must then my enemies mistreat me and make me sad? Even my bones are in pain, while all day long my enemies sneer and ask, where is your God? Why am I so discouraged? Why am I restless? I trust you. And I will praise you again because you help me and you are my God. I want us to look today at depression and what the Bible says about it. And you might think, well, why are we looking at this? Surely that's only going to get us down looking at this. But I want us to look at it because it's crucial that we understand it, and because it's such a fundamental part of so many people's lives. Many Christians feel that if they suffer from depression, that's an indication that there is something wrong with their faith, or they're made to feel by other Christians that there must be something wrong with their faith if they feel depressed. And reading that psalm, Psalm 42, we see clear evidence of a person whose emotions are all over the place, who's clearly depressed because he cannot understand, figure out, and clearly get sorted in his mind what's happening in his life. It's even been the case that from time to time, people who have been depressed, or Christians who have been depressed, have been accused of being possessed by some kind of demon. What I want us to do today is to look at it within the context of the Bible, but not as a kind of teaching model, but rather from the experience of different people. And there are three areas that I want us to look at as we go through it. You'll see there what we might call the signs and symptoms of depression. And if you were to answer that you could have five of these signs or symptoms, people would say that you were suffering from depression. People that who are agitated, restless, or irritable, a dramatic change in their appetite, extreme difficulty thinking and concentrating clearly, fatigue and lack of energy, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, or worthlessness and self-hate, inappropriate guilt, inactivity, withdrawal, thoughts of death or suicide, and so on. Depression is something that affects so, so many of us, and I would think as I speak to you today, has affected many of us here. And so I want us to have a clear perspective on it. And I want us to look at two people in the Bible plus the psalmist there as we come to an end of it. And the first person that we come across is the prophet Elijah. Now, Elijah was a strong person of faith. Elijah was one of these people who is a bit unlike us. He would stand up and he would just say it as it is. Right? He would tell God's word and God's will to an audience of people who completely disagreed with him. Right? If the whole of this church profoundly disagreed with him, he would think, well, I don't care, you're going to hear it anyway. Right? And so Elijah would speak God's word. And there was an incident took place in Elijah's life where there was a major confrontation. And in this major confrontation, this is what happened. On Mount Carmel, Elijah challenged the false prophets. And he said to them this, we're both going to bring a bull, we're going to slaughter it, we're going to put it on our altars, and we're going to ask, you're going to ask your gods to consume it with fire, and I'm going to ask Jehovah to do the same thing. There was 800 of them. There was one of Elijah. Elijah listened as the prophets called upon their god, Baal. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. They started cutting themselves. They went and nothing happened. Then Elijah went over to his altar and he poured water on the sacrifice until it was soaked. And then he called upon God and God consumed the offering. And in that moment, he demonstrated to the people before him that there was only one God. It was a power encounter and it was a powerful moment. And Elijah's faith was vindicated beyond doubt. Now, you would think that a man who has that kind of faith and has experienced God at that kind of level would never in a million years be depressed. Yet shortly afterwards, Jezebel says to him, I'm going to get you, and before this day ends, you'll be dead. And Elijah folds and runs and hides. And as he's on the run, Elijah says to God, I just want to die. I'm so down. I'm so depressed. I just want it all to end. I want to die. What was God's response? God's response to Elijah was to give him rest and sleep and food and care. And for 40 days, this man of God is looked after by God and provided for by God and given rest by God. And then there's a moment that takes place when God reveals himself to Elijah. There are all kinds of thunderous noises and everything else, and God wasn't in any of these. And in the still, small whisper, God speaks gently and reassuringly to Elijah. And when Elijah again expresses so many of his doubts, God reassures him that not only is there him who is there as a living witness, but there are yet 7,000 who have not bowed the knee in Israel to Baal. You're not alone, he says to Elijah. There are many who stand with you. and I stand with you too. And in this whole process, Elijah is eventually restored. Now, what we see with Elijah is what we might call reactive depression. He is reacting to an incident within his own life or circumstances within his own life, and he crumbles. It's as if everything falls apart and he can't put it back together again. He doesn't have the personal and inner resources to do that. And God comes and God helps him, and God gives him time, and God gives him rest and opportunity to be able simply to sort out his feelings and his emotions. And there are many people suffer from what we might call reactive depression. It could be a divorce, it could be grief, it could be anything that causes it, where their minds just cannot cope any longer with their circumstances. And we're very, very fortunate that we have medical care that enables us to be able to go to a doctor who can give us medication that will just kind of pacify those feelings. And what I want to just kind of say to you today, if you don't already know and you should know, is that that's a very common thing. It probably happens in 1 out of 3 cases. And God has blessed us with medical science, and he has blessed us with those who are able to help us through those kind of circumstances, where we can get our heads round how we feel, and where we can put back together the jigsaw of your life that has been smashed and put into pieces, and we need to put back together again those pieces of our lives. Reactive depression, it may only happen once in our lives. It may happen more than that, but it can happen. And it's not any different from somebody breaking their arm. It's not any different from somebody having a heart attack. It's something that happens to people. And it's not a sign that our faith is lacking. It's not a sign that there is something wrong with us as Christians. It's not a sign of demon possession or any of these things that have sometimes been thrown at people. It's simply just something that happens. Now, if it's never happened to you, you won't understand what it feels like. It's not just a bad day or a down day. It's a day when everything just, or a time when everything just falls apart, and where you need the help and care and attention of medics and other people, and where you need time to recover and time out of life in order to be able to do that. Elijah suffered from reactive depression, and then he got on with his life again after that. And what's interesting is that God gave to him the prophet Elisha after that. So he was given somebody to be with him and to strengthen him beyond that, Elijah. Then we come across in the Old Testament the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a different kettle of fish altogether. Now, I don't know if any of you have read the prophecy of Jeremiah and then treated yourself to the Lamentations of Jeremiah that follow that. 55 chapters. Okay. They do not make easy reading by any stretch of the imagination. Sometimes Jeremiah is up there, elated, and other times he is down there in the depths. And here is one of those moments when he's down in the depths. This is what he says. Why, he said, was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble and sorrow and shame. Now, that's not unusual for Jeremiah to say like that, something like that. Why did I ever come out of my mother's womb? Cursed be my mother's womb, he would say. My goodness, it goes on and on. But it's not funny, because here is a man who knew the depths of human misery, who was what you might call someone who was naturally depressed, something that was inherent to him, and something that never left him. And again, he teaches us that there are some people who suffer from depression that is not reactive. It's not just something that happens to them, where an incident or something comes into their lives that causes them to feel like this. It's something that's wrong with the chemistry of their brain that they cannot possibly help. And if you go through human history, you will see that some of the brightest and some of the most inventive and some of the greatest minds were in this category. They never could escape from it. We're going to sing a song or a hymn quite soon by a hymn writer who just went into those episodes in his life, all the way through his life, where he went into those major episodes of depression. Let me be personal with you for a moment so that I know that you can try to understand this and understand it from a kind of personal perspective. When I was 12 years old, I was diagnosed as suffering from depression. And it's still there 50 years later. It's never gone away. It's something that's wrong with the chemistry of my brain. It's a torturous and a tormenting thing sometimes. Sometimes it lasts for days. Sometimes it lasts for weeks. Sometimes it lasts even for months. It's so debilitating. And sometimes it's like walking through treacle when it comes. Now, there are times when I simply need medication because I'll never cope without it. But I have tried cognitively, if you like, to find ways around it. And I know that when I feel it coming on, and I do have those moments when I sense it coming on, that I simply go and find a place and a time, maybe for a couple of days, to completely rest and find my way back into life again. And there are people who suffer from that kind of indigenous depression, and it never will go away, and it always will need some kind of help. And if you do suffer from that, you need to go to a doctor. You need medication to help you through it. That's just something that's wrong with your life, in the same way as somebody maybe suffers from arthritis and it's not going to go away. It's going to be there for the rest of your days and you need to take medication for it. Or somebody that suffers from heart disease or whatever. It's part of who that person is, as it was part of who the prophet Jeremiah was. And finally, there is Psalm 42 that we read, which I would call spiritual depression, where the writer is a believer. And the writer cannot make sense of life because the writer believes that God should be good to them, and yet that's not what's happening in their experience. It's like the person that looks at the world and starts to get depressed by thinking, well, where is God in this? Where is God in this world of suffering? That's a form of spiritual depression. Or they're going through a really difficult time where they want to connect with God but don't feel God is there any longer. And that's what the psalmist was saying. You know, I remember those times of great spiritual uplifting and joy. And yet, I don't sense that anymore. And where is God? Or like the psalmist says in Psalm 73, this, surely God is good to us, to those of our pure heart. But as for me, he said, my feet had almost slipped. I nearly lost my foothold. My whole life just collapsed from underneath me. There are times, in other words, when there is a spiritual depression where we really cannot connect between a good God and our own circumstances and what we see is happening in the world around us. And that's reasonable and that's natural too. That's part of what it means to be a human being, to struggle with some of those big issues that inflict and afflict us as human beings. In other words, we're like Jesus Christ. Jesus had his moment of depression, didn't he? Jesus had his moment of not being able to reconcile clearly the will of God with himself. And as he stood there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, Lord, is it not possible that you could take this cup from me? He was struggling between what he wanted to do and the will of God, struggling with God in his life. And many of us fall into that category from time to time. There are moments when that happens to us. There are moments when perhaps we see the death of a child that we've loved and we think, gosh, I can't cope with this. Where is God in this? Or it's maybe a major illness that we have to go through and we cannot connect with God in that situation. Or it's maybe the news and we're watching something happening in another part of the world and we're saying, how can human beings do that? How can God not sort this out? How can he not do something about this? There are times maybe when locally we find the same thing happening in our own minds. It's a form of spiritual depression. It has the capacity to prevent us even from praying. Sometimes it makes us want not to come to church. We think, what's the point? It's the what's the point moment in our lives. And that's normal. That happens. It probably happens to every Christian at some time. And perhaps those who are more sensitive, it happens to them more often than it does to others. So what I wanted to do today is not to depress you. I can assure you I didn't want to do that. But to look at the way in which this awful reality can impact upon our lives at a psychological level, at an emotional level. And when it does that, for us not to be so insecure or even proud that we don't go and look for help. And don't even come and look for help from your minister who's trained to offer counseling through circumstances and situations like that. To be able to realize that this is not a weakness that's in us, but just something that happens to human beings, because human beings are weak in part at least. And there are times when we need the strength of others, and even when we need to go to the doctor when we reach that point where we feel that emotionally and psychologically we're not coping and we need to get something to help us pacify those emotions that are out of control. But we also need to be sensitive to one another spiritually, when it comes to those issues that affect and afflict us from time to time. We need to be honest about it as well and say, I have those moments where I feel as if my faith just is falling apart, where I feel as if I can't make sense of it. And for us to know that that's something that happens to all of us. Not all the time, but some of the time. And it's not an unnatural or even an illogical thing to happen. It's perhaps an entirely reasonable thing to happen in a broken world where we're trying to make sense of that world and who we are as well. And to remember that whatever we go through and however we go through it, that the faithfulness of God is always there with us. Remember Elijah. God was there with Elijah, helping him through this difficult time. God was there with Jeremiah too, helping him through this difficult inner conflict that he seemed to suffer from as well. And people like him right throughout history, even like Paul himself, who I believe fell into a similar category. God help us, God strengthen us, God give us grace.